we have a big moment, a turning point in the decade annual, I said every decade tradition of redistricting our election boundaries. And it will come at TCF Center this afternoon when we have our first public hearing on the draft maps that have been drawn up by the all-new Citizens Redistricting Commission. They have done a yeoman's amount of work, and now the public will have some input into it. Joining us live is Rebecca Zitella, who is chairperson of the first ever Michigan Independent Citizens Redistricting Commission. Rebecca, good morning. It's a big day.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So I've got to ask you, you guys have done a ton of work. You have had to plow through a mountain of data. And already, you know, it seems like we've got the firing squads out. I think that was to be expected. But do you think most of the criticisms that you've seen so far have been fair and reasonable?
Well, I think it depends on what the criticism is. We've received some criticism, a lot of praise. You know, the praise has been fantastic. I think most people understand what we're trying to do and appreciate what we're doing. But there's always going to be some people who are uncomfortable with what's happening or don't want the process to change, or, you know, maybe they have personal interests that they feel are being threatened. So, you know, I think the feedback we're getting is good and I appreciate it. But, you know, we're not unfortunately going to be able to please everybody. And I think that's just part of the process as well.
It really is. And we knew that from the get-go. And that's true with every effort of this kind. Obviously, this is novel for us because it's the first time that citizens, not politicians, have been redrawing these boundaries. Do you think a lot of the criticism comes from a place of maybe a lack of information, a misperception as to what the goal is? You want to draw fair boundaries. That doesn't necessarily mean that they will be politically neutral boundaries, because the way that the dispersion of voters may be will give us one party over another an advantage in some districts. Is that correct?
I think that is correct. And I think there is people need to understand that we have seven criteria that we are following. So unlike previous redistricting efforts where it was in a closed room where people could choose whatever criteria they wanted to use, we actually have a list of seven itemized criteria that we have to follow, starting with the Voting Rights Act and then moving to communities of interest and then moving to partisan fairness. And we are required to follow those in ranked order. And sometimes mm-hmm. that means the maps might be different than they might be if we didn't have to follow that criteria. So I think that's really an area that the public needs to understand, is that the reason why the lines are being drawn the way they are is because we are trying to go down that list and follow the criteria.
We know that some of the census data arrived late. I think there were also some concerns that the census data may have been incomplete. Do you and your commission members feel like you had all of the raw data that you needed?
I think we received all of the raw data from the Census Bureau. I don't doubt that. It is possible, and we, you know, have certainly heard evidence from people that maybe the census wasn't as robust and complete as it has been in previous years. But at the end of the day, we have to deal with the data we have and not speculate about what the data might be. Mm-hmm. And we're working off what we have.
So one of the things that has drawn fire from the African-American community is that there are now 17 black majority districts in the state house. And that almost universally ensures that there will be black faces and black voices on the floor of the Michigan House of Representatives. The way you've redrawn the boundaries, many of those African-American voters that are now majority in Detroit have been melded into districts where they may have gone from a 55% majority to a 47% share or smaller. They still meet the requirements, but they're fearful that it will lead to fewer, less representation of African Americans. I know that's something you're going to hear today. How will you respond, do you think?
Well, my response to that is that I understand the fear and I understand the concern that people are expressing. And I'm happy people feel comfortable and want to express that to us because we are listening. But my take and my understanding based on the data we have received from our experts is that redesigning these districts in the way that we have is actually going to increase Black representation, because instead of having 17 majority-minority districts that are highly concentrated with sometimes 70, 80, 90% African Americans, we're going to have over 32, 34, 35 districts that have districts where African Americans have the ability to elect their candidates of choice. So it's actually going to increase the African American representation. It's not taking it away. And the way we're able to accomplish that is by paring down the concentration so that we can increase the number of districts. So I think it's going to be a net gain. I really do.
Interesting. Okay. We've got others, independent people weighing in. I think Princeton University has come in with its gerrymandering project. It has said that your congressional districts, they gave, I think, most of the maps, 2 out of 3, an A there. The Senate maps, I think they gave mostly an A or a B. And again, the only place was in the state house redrawing. Is that the area that you think will get the bulk of scrutiny as we enter this public comment phase?
Well, because the House has 110 districts, it's automatically more challenging to draw, I think. And I do think we are going to get a lot of comments there. And, I mean, as we've mentioned before in other interviews, that these maps are not done. So the comments are important, the criticism is important, the compliments are important, so that it can inform our decision-making as we move towards changing the maps potentially, and finally approving the maps. So there's definitely room for improvement, and that's why those comments are important.
Sure. And for those, and one of the other things that the Michigan State analysis raised was, and I think it maybe it was a backhanded compliment, they say most commission maps show a partisan lean toward Republicans on most measures, but that is likely due to the geographic concentration of Democrats rather than commission intent. Do you think the partisans on the side that don't have a lean in their direction will accept that as an explanation?
We can look at our maps and we can see that the urban areas tend to be concentrated and highly Democratic. And we can see that sort of the more rural areas, which are large and have a lot of land, are more Republican. So I do think it's a function of geography, but I think we've worked really hard to bring those numbers down and try to improve the balance. And we're going to continue to do that with the goal of getting neutral, fair, balanced maps if we can.
Yeah. Well, as we enter this phase, I know it's going to be busy. How will people participate if they want to come to TCF Center today? And I know each person will have a time limit. You're trying to be efficient with this.
So anyone can go to the TCF Center today. We're going to be there between 1 and 3:30, and then again 5 to 8. They can sign up, and they can provide public comment or testimony. If they don't want to stand up in front of a room full of people, because I know some people aren't comfortable with that, we will have terminals there where they can actually type in their comment. We will have interns there who can assist people in entering in their comments if they don't want to type it in themselves. So we will have that sort of assistance. People can also sign up online. Maybe you can't make it down to TCF today, you can sign up online and do a telephone comment, call in and give us a remote comment, or you can go to our website at www.michigan.gov/MICRC and you can submit comments there. And then lastly, you can also call Michigan 211 and they can assist you in taking your comment and getting it over to us. So lots of ways for people to participate.
Yeah. And finally, Rebecca, before we let you go, of the criticism that you received so far, has most of it been civil? And has it been well informed?
I think most of it has been civil. I think, I think most people have been appreciative of what we're doing and been civil. So I think that's been good. We haven't had sort of below the belt comments, I think, so far. So, and hopefully that will continue to be the case.
Amen, Rebecca. I certainly hope for. We don't need any high drama in this process. And reminding everybody that you were chartered by the Michigan voters themselves. This is something we voted on. This is something by an overwhelming margin we approved. And so we wish you nothing but the best as you enter this critical phase. And thanks for spending time with us.
Thank you for having me. You have a good day.
Rebecca Zitella, chairperson of the Michigan Independent Citizens Redistricting Commission, meeting today at TCF Center and asking for your input.